You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
I'm excited about what I have to share today. So let's hop in, everyone. Father, I just thank you for this Path to Purpose group. I thank you for every single person that is a part of this group. I thank you that they are here by divine appointment and that you have something that you want to speak to them today. That this is a word in due season, Father, for every single person. So I just declare right now that hearts are open and ready to receive. I declare that eyes are enlightened and that we know the hope of our calling, Father. I declare that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you is being released right this very moment. And so, Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you are going to be teaching today. You are going to be sharing what is on Papa's heart. And I just thank you for your fire. I thank you for the baptism of fire. I thank you that you are burning away the chaff. You are burning away the unbelief. You are burning away the doubt. You are burning away the fear. You are burning away anything in our lives that doesn't look like Jesus, because as he is, so are we in this world. And it is time. It is time for the manifestation of the sons of God. It is time to govern. It is time to expand the kingdom. It is time to offer all of us to come out with guns a-blazing and call things that be not as though they are. And so I just speak right now an impartation of faith to people today, Father. I thank you, Father, for encouragement and edification today, Father. I thank you that there are confirmations, there are corrections, there are upgrades that are going to be released today. And I just thank you that it's all by your grace. It's all by your power and by your might. And Holy Spirit, we just put all of this broadcast, every bit of it, into your capable hands. I just yield right now my mind, my thoughts, my body to you as a living sacrifice. And so you speak today, Holy Spirit. You say what you want to say. Father, you declare what you want to declare. Jesus, you decree what you want to decree over your beloved, over your bride today, over your body. And I just declare that we're in sync with the head. We are moving in a synchronized fashion with you through the circumstances and whatever is going on in our lives, Father, because we have the victory every single time. And so I just declare we are more than conquerors and that you are causing us to triumph and that this word is a weapon in the hands of every single listener today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, awesome, you guys. It's so good to be back. It's so good to be with you today. And I want to kick off our word for the month for June. Oh my goodness, you guys, we're heading into really the countdown to the middle of 2024. Can you believe this? I mean, oh my gosh, I just had my daughter graduate from high school on Sunday. I mean, we're now into summer. Gosh, it's been a quick year. I mean, from my perspective anyway, and we've got things to accomplish. God is doing big things in our lives right now. And so I want to start today by just revisiting the word for the year in 2024, because every single month we're going back to that word because God is not changing what he's speaking. And so I want to, he's just expanding on it and encouraging us as we step into it. So at the beginning of the year, this was the word we had for 2024. Don't quit, be unstoppable, learn how to manipulate the matrix and dominate it. Now, when I say the matrix, I want to make sure that you understand that the matrix refers to the world system. It refers to the seen realm. It refers to the illusion and the control and the domination of the seen realm that most of the human race is under. Obviously, it's a play on the movie, The Matrix, right? I've been bringing out my little Neo all year to remind you that you are in the illusion of the seen realm, that you are a spirit, that you are an avatar, that you have a spirit that is occupying, I got my little avatar guy here, that is occupying a physical body, but you are designed to live in the spirit and walk by faith, not by sight. You are not to be deceived, right, by the illusion of the seen realm. And you know, as I've been sitting with this word this month, I want to just reiterate, and I want to make sure that you understand that God has impossible things in store for you. You are called to do impossible things, okay? Things that are not humanly possible without the supernatural power of God. You are not called to a mediocre life. You are not called to a natural life. You are not a mere human being. You are a son of God. You have the potential of Jesus Christ. you are capable of doing the same works that Jesus did and even greater works than Jesus did. Why? Because Jesus Christ is alive in you and he went to the Father. He died as you, he was buried as you, he was raised as you, and he was ascended as you. And you are now bilocational. You are seated here in the seen realm right now, but you are also seated in heavenly places right now at the right hand of God, in the place of honor, in the place of glory, in the place of power. And as you see Jesus for who he really is, the resurrected King of Kings, who holds the keys of hell and death, well, guess what? You are seeing who you are. Now, granted, you're a unique expression of God's glory. There is only one, you know, Jesus in a chalice suit. There's only one Jesus in a you suit, but you are equipped. You are qualified. You are holy. You are righteous. You are made of the same divine nature. You are a partaker of the glory of God. In fact, you are the glory of God. You are the expression of the glory of God in the earth. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So let me just right here out of the gate remind you of who you are. Because you are called to do impossible things. You are called to move mountains. You are called to still storms. You are called to live supernaturally outside of the world system. Your provision is not based on your bank account. Your health is not based upon the doctor's report. No, it's based upon the gospel. It's based upon the truth that by his stripes you are healed. It's based upon the grace of God that though Jesus was rich, he became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich, this great exchange of sin for righteousness, of poverty for wealth, of sickness for health, of death for life has been already completed. It is finished. And who you are in the spirit is who you really are. That is absolutely who you really are. Okay. And so as we step into June, I'm going to highlight this part of the word that, you know, some of you may already know of the impossible thing that God is calling you to do now. I'm not talking about, you know, it 6 months from now. I'm saying now. It's now. Faith is now. We're not waiting on God, right? No, we're not waiting on God. We're waiting on the words, the miracles that are in your mouth. And so part of this says to not quit and be unstoppable. So for those of you that already know about the impossible things that you're standing for, maybe you're standing for the reconciliation of family members. I was chatting with someone here this morning who's estranged from their son, right? Maybe you're standing for the health of a loved one. Maybe you're in a battle for your own life, for your own health. Maybe you are drowning in debt. Maybe you're facing divorce. Maybe you're in bankruptcy. Whatever the circumstances may be, whatever the mountain is, whatever the giant is that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God, against the reconciliation of all things, whatever it is that you may, in prison, whatever it is, you guys, God is saying, don't quit, be unstoppable. And so today I really want to highlight that because the word for June is an interesting word. The word is double down. Okay. Double down. Now I had to look that up. I'm not really a blackjack player. I mean, I played, you know, a few times or whatever, but I don't know that much about the game, but let me read the definition of double down. Okay. It says to strengthen one's commitment to a particular strategy or course of action, typically one that is potentially risky, okay? So God is leading us on purpose into risky things. Why? Because God gets glorified by miracles. God gets glorified when the impossible becomes possible. And God is saying, double down on the risky thing. Okay. This is not, the gospel is not a safe message, you guys. It is not a stay in the boat, stay in your comfort zone message. No, it is a supernatural, overthrow of the world system. It is a supernatural overthrow or replacement of the circumstances and of the things that contradict themselves or the circumstances that are contradictions to the victory of Jesus over sin, over death, over poverty, over sickness, over anything and everything that is a part of the curse that entered the earth. when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If it is not in heaven, well, then it is illegal to exist in your life. And God is saying double down. He's not just saying don't quit, be unstoppable this month. He's saying double down on what you are standing for. Double down on going on the offense and transforming the seen realm. Here's the other, the blackjack definition, right? It says when you double a bet after seeing the initial hand, okay, I'm paraphrasing this. It means that there's only going to be one more card that's drawn, but you split your hand. And what happens? You get double if you, you know, if you hit 21, well, whew, you just got double the bank. I mean, if I'm thinking about how blackjack works, again, I'm no blackjack player. But the point is, it's expect the double, right? So we're doubling down and expecting double. So there's a lot I want to share this morning, but I just wrote a couple of things down that I want to speak to you. And one of it is that you keep speaking to the mountain. You keep speaking. You don't look back. You don't look at the wind and the waves. Okay. You're out of the boat. You're expecting a miracle. You're walking on water. So you stay focused. You stay focused on what you're speaking. Specifically, what God really has been highlighting to me is the principle of calling things that be not as though they are. Now you may think, okay, Shalisa, what is this? Some kind of word of faith message? Well, guess what? I'm just going to tell you, I get it. We are reconstructing our faith. We are detoxing from separation from God. We are questioning doctrines. We are questioning penal substitution and the things that we've been taught in church that really are accusations against the goodness of God. I get it. We are aligning our belief systems with the truth of the gospel. But you guys, we cannot throw out the baby with the bathwater. And I will tell you, I will preach the supernatural as long as I am alive. I will preach that words have power as long as I am alive. Why? Because I've seen too much, I've spoken too much, and I know that it's true and I know that it works. And I know that the accuser of the brethren is always out with accusations to try to get you in a position where you don't believe how powerful you are. And you get into a position of passiveness rather than defensiveness rather than staying on the offense. And I'm just going to go into two different scenarios today. You know, I talk about Abraham a lot. I talk about the impossible thing that God spoke over Abraham. He called Sarah and Abraham parents when they were, you know, 100 years old, well past childbearing age. And it was an impossible thing that God spoke to Abraham when he called him the father of a nation, right? He told him to change his name. In other words, you are going to agree with what I have spoken over you, Abraham, so much so that I'm going to change your name so that every time you introduce yourself, you're having to introduce yourself as a 100-year-old father of a multitude, father of a nation. You are going to look like a fool, probably, to people every single time you introduce yourself, because when I told you that, you didn't have an heir, you didn't have a child, and obviously this was not going to happen without the power of God and without something supernaturally happening. So he put him out on the limb. He put his words in his mouth and he caused him to agree with what God was speaking over him and Sarah. He told him to go out and look at the stars and you see how many offspring you have. And guess what? We are the fulfillment of what God spoke over Abraham. We are Abraham's children. The seed of Abraham is Jesus, and we are one with him, and we are the children and the seed of Abraham. Abraham is called the father of faith because against hope, he believed. When there was no reason for hope, he still called himself Abraham. And he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and he became fully persuaded that God was able to do what he promised. But Abraham had a part to play, right? He had to get his words aligned and he needed to see what God was speaking over him and Sarah as an already finished fact. You guys, this is what it means to walk by faith. This is what it means to be a spiritually mature son of God. It means that we are not governed by our five physical senses. We are not governed by the wind and the waves and the numbers in our bank account and the doctor's reports and the way that people are acting. No, we see things from God's perspective. We get up into heavenly places and we see the end from the beginning and we declare it as done now. From God's perspective, everything is finished, and it needs to get finished from our perspective. Now, I have talked about Abraham a lot on my podcast, but today I want to highlight the opposite of Abraham. So I want to take us into Luke chapter 1 today, and I want to talk about another couple that was past childbearing age, and I want to talk about the way that they handled the situation because it highlights the truth of how powerful we are and how powerful our words are and how important that it is that we learn to talk like a son of God. If we are going to govern the matrix, if we're going to dominate the matrix, if we're going to manipulate the matrix, then we need to know how to do that. And it is done completely by words. Words are creative. They created everything that we see. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And guess what? He called it not like it was. He didn't say, "Oh, look how dark it is out here. Look how void it is out here. Look at the, you know, all of the catastrophe that this is." No, he said, "Let there be light." He said, "Let there be." He created with words. And our words and our tongues are so creative that the Holy Spirit got a hold of the human tongue again on the day of Pentecost and gave us the gift of tongues so that when we are about to speak something in unbelief, or we are about to speak doubt, or we are about to be not a vessel for righteousness, but a vessel for unrighteousness. And instead of speaking words that are full of faith, we're speaking words that are full of fear, or we're just continuing to call things just as they are. We keep getting exactly what we have because we keep calling what we have. We just say, "This is what I see. So this is the truth." And guess what? Our words are always working. And so it is time to double down on what you're speaking. So let's look at this example with Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read for a minute, but I want you to hear this story because it is so powerful. Same set of circumstances. Abraham and Sarah, Zechariah and Elizabeth. It turned out well for both couples, but there's a very big difference in the way that Abraham responded and the way that Zechariah responded. So here we go. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah." I don't know if I'm saying that right. "His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right altar of the incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now, Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, for they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. It says, "Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself for 5 months, saying, 'Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among the people.'" Now, I'm going to go down a little bit. And I want to talk about the birth here. It says in verse 57, it says, "Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and her relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zechariah. His mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." So they made signs to his father. What would he have him called? Okay, so Zechariah is still speechless. And he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote saying, "His name is John." So they all marveled. And immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then the fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all of these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now, then it says that his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. And so Zechariah began to prophesy. So he went from speechless in unbelief. And he had 9 months, you guys, or however long it was before she conceived, and all of those 9 months to think about the power of speech and the unbelief that he spoke to the angel Gabriel. Now, listen to this, you guys. Zechariah had a visitation from Gabriel, from an angel, and still was filled with unbelief. So how much more is it tempting for us when we get a promise from scripture, or we get in our journals something that we believe that God is speaking, or we have a dream where God is talking to us? How much, you know, does it seem like, gosh, if I just had a sign, like an angel that came, well, then I would believe. Well, no. You know what? You can still have an angel. I mean, I've had open visions. I mean, you can have supernatural encounters, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to believe in a way that actually partners with God and gets your tongue in agreement with what God is speaking. Okay, God is a God who partners with us. We are his body. We are the material part of the Godhead in the earth right now. Jesus has a resurrected body, ascended up to heaven, right? But we are the material part of the Godhead. The body of Christ is us. We are in the material realm, and the material realm responds to sons of God. And so our words are how we partner. Our agreement is how we partner. And if we don't know what to say, we need to keep our mouth shut. Do you know that this has supernaturally happened to me on 2 occasions? Years ago, I was reading a book called Visions by Kenneth Hagin. And, you know, I was really enthralled. I mean, I've always been enthralled with the supernatural. I've always been drawn to miracles. I guess, number one, because I needed one. I'd been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I dealt with anxiety and dealt with depression. And I started to learn the power of our words. And I started to own the fact that I had been calling myself crazy for years. Now, it was kind of like a joke, right? I was a party girl. Oh, she's so crazy. I'm so crazy. Oh, she's Waffle House crazy. That was like a little joke that we had with my friends. But the truth was, I was speaking that over myself every day, day in or whatever, how often I was speaking it day in and day night. And I had to repent. I had to say, you know what? No, I'm not crazy. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. No, I have the mind of Christ. Guess what? Anxiety is, this is an attack against me. I had to like to come out of agreement that I had was going to have a life of mental illness. In fact, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, or it was like leading up to being filled with the Holy Spirit, I was in a Joyce Meyer conference. I mean, I was not spirit filled. I was, you know, in the world, lost as a, you know, you can get. And, you know, she was talking about surrendering your life to God. And I remember standing in, I'd never really even known to have visions before, but I remember standing in the UIC Center here, in the United Center here in Chicago. And I had a little vision. I mean, you know, I don't think it was an open vision, but I saw it very clearly. And I saw the scripture that says, "Today I set before you life and death. Choose life that you and your descendants may live." And I saw this, I called it the road to life and the road to death. And I saw on the road to death, I saw a future. And I saw a future of me in mental institutions. And I was going to spend the rest of my day struggling with my mental health. Now, I knew that was true, because I had already been saying to people, man, I almost wish I could just go to a mental institution so that I could take a vacation. I wouldn't have to work. They would feed me. I could rest, right? I was actually thinking, entertaining, that that was a good idea because I was exhausted. I was burned out. I was struggling. I was oppressed, right? And so I was partnering with death. I was partnering in my inner mind with this destiny that was not my destiny, but it would have been my destiny if I had not chosen life. But interestingly, on the road to life, I looked down that road and you know what? I couldn't see anything. I could just see choose life. And it was so simple to me. Like I was, of course, I'm going to choose life. Like this is not even an option. I may not know what's down this road with God, but it's better than this road to death. And so I chose life. I went home that night, took off all my clothes because I was a little bit nuts, and I surrendered my life to God. And Joyce had said, just give God a blank piece of paper, sign your name at the bottom and say, my life is not my own. You can fill out the story of my life. You fill in the story and I'm just saying, I'm signing up for it. And that's what I did that night. And since that day, my life has not been my own. I have not lived anywhere that God has not called me to live. The street names that I have lived on have been prophetic declarations of what God was doing in my life. In fact, right now I live in a house that's on Grace Avenue. And before this, I lived on Masters Drive. I lived on Owl Court. Like I lived on streets that were prophetic declarations of the season of life that God was in and the work that he was doing in me. Right. And I have moved with wherever God has took me. I have risked it all multiple times. I have given everything I own away multiple times. I've gone out on limbs that if God didn't show up, well, then guess what? We were going down. The ship was going down. And I'll tell you what, I live my life like that. If God doesn't show up, we are pretty much screwed every single month because God is always calling us to big, impossible things that we don't have the resources to do, that we don't have in and of ourselves the ability to do. But I choose over and over again to believe God. And guess what? He's calling me up. He's calling us up in our speech. And there is no way to get into the promised land, into your destiny, without understanding how to create, without understanding how to manipulate the matrix, without understanding that the seen realm is designed to be governed by sons of God. And it will respond to your frequency. It will respond to your words, and it will respond to the faith of God that you possess through your union with Jesus. Now, I get it. I get that doubt is a real thing. I get it that if some of the things that God calls you to do, you know what? The circumstances scream at you, right? You are unqualified. Who are you to do this? Who are you to say this? You don't have the resources. You don't have the education. You don't have the background. You don't have the connections, whatever, blah, blah, blah. All of the I can'ts, I won't, I can't, I shouldn't, whatever. All of that religious nonsense. Well, I'm telling you, God is saying double down. Double down on the healing that you're standing for. Double down on the resources that you need to follow your dream. If you have a shortage of money right now, you need to visualize $100,000 in your bank account. You need to get your bills out and you need to set them on the table and you need to say, be paid in Jesus' name. And you keep speaking that and you keep seeing that and you watch the seen realm adjust to your words. As I was reading the scripture from Zechariah, reading the story of Zechariah a few moments ago, I just remembered something that I saw Justin Paul Abraham post I don't know if it was last week or when I saw it, but he was talking, he was reading the story of Zechariah, which again, I didn't remember until I was just reading it to you. And he said what was highlighted to him was this idea that John was filled with the Holy Spirit even in the womb. And so he was prophesying that even in this hour, babies are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even from the womb. Well, as I was reading that, the Holy Spirit brought that story back to me. And God wanted me to say this about that. And I'm in agreement with what Justin Paul Abraham is saying, like that physically is going to happen. But it is also a sign. Okay, as these babies are filled with the Holy Spirit, that is a sign that the things that we are pregnant in the spirit with are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and going to come to pass. It is time to birth those promises. It is time to make the word that God has spoken over you, to partner with God and for it to become flesh, right? Every word that God speaks has enough power in and of itself to bring itself to pass, okay? The faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when God speaks over you, either through a revelation that he gives you in the scripture or through when you're meditating or when you're just, you know, you just get a prophetic word from someone else, you get one from yourself in your journal, you just hear God speak, you have a dream. Gosh, I had an amazing dream this week. I'll tell you about that in a second. But the point is that those things are like seeds. They are germinating in the womb, right? Which is your imagination, which is your spirit. And those things are designed to come forth in the material realm. And so I'm speaking to you that the Holy Spirit is in your vision, is in the things that you're carrying. And I know you're a guy, you're probably like, I don't have a womb. Yes, you do in the spirit. You're a bride in the spirit, just like I'm a son. And you have the power. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will kick in when you start calling things that be not as though they are. When you start speaking of the non-existent things in the natural as though they already exist. This is the way God talks. This is the way mature sons and daughters talk. Now, I'm going to share with you a dream that I had. I don't even remember. I think it was, I don't know what day it was. It was just 2 or 3 days ago. It was so crazy. Okay. And now I'm putting it together with even what I'm sharing, but it was a lucid dream. Okay. And I think it, I mean, I've had a lucid dream before. Now, what does it mean that I had a lucid dream? A lucid dream means that you know you're dreaming. Okay, I'm in the dream and I know I'm dreaming. And here's what happened. A client came to me and she was pregnant. Now, this is an older woman who was she was pregnant. I haven't even shared this with this person, but she was pregnant. And she came to me and she was pregnant with a vision. And she was angry at me. And she said, and I'm trying to remember exactly how it went, but it was something like, you are supposed to train me in the mystical. And I want you, you have to train me in the mystical. And she was like almost angry about it, saying, you have to train me in the mystical. You have to train me in the mystical. And it was interesting. I sat there for a moment in the dream and then I just knew that I was dreaming. And this is what I said. Well, if you want to learn about the mystical, and what I want to say today is if you want to learn how to manipulate the matrix, because here's what I said. I said, well, the first thing you need to know is that none of this is real. It's a dream. And I knew it was a dream. And in that moment, that scene faded away and I began to go into different scenes in the dream. One was a battle. I was in a battle with a guy. He was trying to kill me. And I don't remember all of them, but this one I do remember. And I was fighting with this guy. I remember he like came at like a knife with my face, at my face. And it just went through my hands. It didn't hurt me. And finally, I got down on the ground. Somehow he knocked me down on the ground. And it was like it kind of reminded me of the Matrix when Morpheus gives Neo the red pill and he begins to like melt into metal and into the mirror. Like I was becoming like part of the floor. I was like melding into the floor. And all I said was, this isn't real. And you guys, I woke up. Now, I wasn't thinking about that dream when I came in to talk about today. I wasn't thinking about the Justin Paul Abraham thing, about him saying that there are pregnancies that are going to be, you know, babies that are going to be filled with the Spirit. But I am telling you, you are pregnant with a vision from God. If you don't know the vision from God, well then, beloved, you need to reach out to me and you really need to step into the coaching and the mentoring that I provide so that you can get trained in the supernatural and get about the Father's business on assignment with whatever it is that God has called you to do, because it is time. It is time to know the reason that you were born. It is time, just like John, he had a purpose. He had a purpose from his mother's womb. Paul was separated from his mother's womb to be an apostle to the Gentiles. You've been separated from your mother's womb for a very specific purpose. And people need what you carry. They need the genius of Christ in you. And if you have been trapped in the world system, trapped in lack, trapped in chaos, trapped in sickness, trapped in whatever it is that you're trapped in, it is time to wake up. It is time to recognize it is all a dream, that it is not real, and who you are is about to arise and shine and manifest who you really are, the unique Son of God, the glorious Son of God that you are. It is time. It is time. And don't be dismayed that you are coming into a situation that is bigger than you, that there are giants sitting on your inheritance, that it looks impossible, there's not a way. But guess what? God is a way maker. God makes rivers in the desert. God feeds people with ravens. God causes the ocean to split. God speaks to storms. God heals the sick, raises the dead. And guess what? So do you. Because Christ is alive in you. And it is time, you guys, to wake up, to actually realize we are in a lucid dream right now, that we are avatars, that we are like Neo, and we are living in a dream, and we don't need to be asleep. In fact, when people die, Jesus never spoke death. He said they're sleeping. He would finally say the word death sometimes when his disciples didn't get it, and he'd be like, no, okay, Lazarus is dead, right? But he didn't even speak death to the point when someone actually died. Okay? Like the word of life is who Jesus is. Jesus is life and the resurrection. Jesus is truth. And we need to get out of the business of doubt. And I get it. It comes. The accuser of the brethren comes. But you know what? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we are to take every thought captive. The weapons of our warfare are not natural. They are not carnal. They are not going to be accomplished with our physical senses, right? No, we've got to see the unseen. We've got to believe something that we can't taste, smell, touch, hear, or see, right? We're going to believe a word of God. We're going to believe the gospel. We're going to repent and believe the gospel. We are going to believe for divine health. We're going to believe that it's impossible for us to run out. We're going to believe that death has been defeated. You guys, my balloons are still flying high here in my office. These balloons were bought March 19th, okay? It is June 4th. Helium balloons last 3 to 5 days. These things are still flying high in my office. We've got a graduation party coming up for Lily on Friday, and I got to buy some more because these are birthday balloons, and I'm going to buy some graduation balloons. And so, my gosh, my whole office may be filled with balloons that won't deflate just to remind me that life is more powerful. Life is happening right now. And so we need to double down on calling things that be not as though they are. So let me wrap up today by going to Romans 4. This is what, you know, the Lord told me, hey, if you start to doubt or you start to, just get into a place where you're struggling with this because the seen realm is yelling louder than the promise, well, then you need to get into Romans chapter 4. And so I'm going to start reading verse 17, Romans 4, 17. It says, and I'm reading the Message translation because I really like it. It says, we call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint. Oh, praise God. It's not based on our holiness and our righteousness apart from Christ. Okay. We don't get God's attention by being goody two shoes and being good in and of ourselves. No, we get God's attention. It says that it is impossible to please God without faith. We get God's attention by believing that we are who he says that we are. We believe that we're holy. We believe that we're righteous. We do not agree with the accuser of the brethren. We don't get down into shame and guilt and condemnation. We don't live in those lower level frequencies. No, we don't. It says, we call Abraham father, not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many peoples. It says Abraham, was first named father and then became a father. He was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. In the King James Version, it says, or New King James Version, it says to call the things that don't exist as though they already did. I'll read it in a second, the other version. It says, when everything was hopeless, okay, there was no reason to hope that this was going to be possible. Okay, that's where Abraham was. It's hopeless. There's no chance that this was going to happen. It says Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. And so he was made the father of a multitude of people. God said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions like Zechariah. Okay. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. That's why it is said God was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's also us. Now, if I go to the New King James Version, I go to Romans 4:17, it says here, it says that, as it is written, I've made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So here's what I want to say. Don't forget that Abraham had a part to play. Okay. God changed his name. So he didn't just have to shut him up like he did Zechariah. Okay. Abraham cooperated and believed and trusted God and stayed focused on what God could do. He didn't focus on his own weakness. He didn't focus on the natural circumstances. He didn't focus on his age. He didn't focus on all how hopeless it was. No, he focused on God's ability. He focused on God's power. And he saw himself and called himself what God called him. And I'm telling you guys, it is time to agree with God and call yourself what God is calling you. You are the owner. You are the lender. You are the head. You are the heir. You are the CEO. You are whatever it is. You are the author. You are the musician. You are whatever God says that you are. That is who you are. And you need to agree and you need to speak it and you need to double down. Now, I'm almost done here, but I do need to, I talked about this in Emerge with my Emerge group on Monday, but I do want to, I would not finish well if I didn't talk to you about Mark chapter 4, okay? Because when you start speaking things, things are going to start shifting. But there are conditions of our heart. There are believing hearts. There are doubting hearts. There are unbelieving hearts. There are hardened hearts. And I'm telling you, don't harden your heart. I'm saying recognize that Mark 4 is going to kick in the moment you start speaking the promise, the moment you start calling things that be not as though they are. Why? Because the sower sows the word. The sower speaks. Words are seeds. And just like seeds start in the invisible underneath ground, and then they grow roots, and then they grow up, and then they have fruit, and they manifest in the visible. It's the same way with our words. And sometimes when you speak, it says here that some of the seeds, they fall on the wayside. And after you speak them, it says these are the ones on the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts. Okay, we have an adversary, and the adversary is after our words. The adversary is after the manifestation of the glory of God. He's after to stop the expansion of the kingdom. It's the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. It's a lie, it's a spirit of error, or it's a spirit of truth. Like, there's two sides of this coin, truth and lies, light and darkness. So there is a battle. I mean, light doesn't fight, but it does have to shine. So the Mark 4 is going to tell you what might happen, right? The enemy may come immediately to say, you're an idiot. Did God really say? Did you really hear God? Was that really God? How do you know that's God? You're just making that up. That's a selfish desire. That's from you. You're imagining that. Okay. So that is going to happen. Okay. Like, unless you're good soil, and it's not going to happen. But if it does start to happen, let's recognize what is happening and let's stand through it. Okay. Then it says, these likewise are the ones who are sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. So they endure only for a time. Then when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, they immediately stumble. So then what happens? Well, maybe there's some persecution. I mean, you guys, I mean, we just had our whole air conditioner go out of downstairs, right? I was sick last week. Okay. So what do you mean? Persecution arises. Things start to happen. Circumstances that look like it's going the wrong way. Oh, no, no, no. That's when you double down. Oh, no, it's not going the wrong way. No, no, no. It's not a problem. It's not a problem. God provides. God heals. God, you know what I mean? But your words, you've got to stick with it in the midst of the persecution and the trial and the tribulation and the contradiction. Okay. This is just what happens. And then it says, these are the ones sown among the thorns, who are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Right. So now we've got money worries. Okay. Then we've got just things that we're worried about, the cares of things going on. And what happens? It comes in and it becomes louder than the promise of God. And it's the wind and the waves, and it gets our attention. It causes us to change our declarations and change what we are speaking. But it says, these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, 60, and some 100-fold. So the process of manifestation can come with resistance. But that's when you double down. You double down. You don't quit. You be unstoppable. You cancel every word that you have spoken that is not in agreement with the truth of what God has spoken, and you get back on it. You see the end from the beginning. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you a vision of victory, right? When I was having my own battle for babies, the Holy Spirit gave me a vision of me 9 months pregnant, walking around in the garden with Jesus. The Holy Spirit knows how to help you take your thoughts captive and will give you a vision of victory. I have one for the things that I'm standing on right now. I have reminders in my office of what I am speaking, what I am standing. I have visual cues in my face, because what I'm standing for is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible if we can believe, and if we can get our mouths in alignment with what God is speaking. Yes, it's that powerful. I really don't, you know, if you're like, oh, I don't know about this, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Okay, well, maybe this word is not for you. I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to people who are here to manifest the glory of God and do something that's impossible. My spiritual pop, Bill Winston, you know, he came to Chicago with $200, and now I can drive over to a 33-acre mall that he purchased and is completely redone, and he did it by faith. Now, again, I'm just going to say it unapologetically, guys. Words are powerful whether you believe me or not. And if you believe that it won't work for you, then it won't work for you. Okay? It's according to your faith. It's still according to your faith. And when I say your faith, yes, it's the faith of God. We're one with God. And faith is a gift. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes with the words that God speaks to you. But God said to meditate on things that are lovely and pure and of good report. In other words, meditate on the promise, meditate on the truth. Go out and get a, you know, like whatever your vision is, right? If it's not the stars and it's not, you know, offspring like Abraham, there is a vision. There is a vision that God has for you. And it is time to make the vision plain, write that vision, and begin to speak it. I come against confusion. I come against doubt. I come against fear. And I'm telling you, if our circumstances are arising that seem to be the opposite of what you're declaring, I don't want you to think it's not working. In fact, it is working. It is working. And It's now a test, not from God, but a test to see, what are you going to say? What are you going to say when it looks like it's not working? What are you going to say when the storm comes up after Jesus tells you to go to the other side? So double down, you guys, double down. I'm going to read the definition one more time. Strengthen your commitment to the strategy that God has given you, to the course of action that God has given you. And yes, it is potentially risky, but that's what does that matter? What is that? Why does it really matter? Only the fear of death is the only thing that we're battling, right? We're afraid that we're going to die. We're afraid that we're going to run out of money. We're afraid, you know, that we're not going to be loved. We're afraid we're going to be rejected. We're afraid of these things. And no. We are not governed by fear. We are governed by love. Love casts out fear. And it is time. It's time for the visions to be birthed through you, and for you to recognize that we're living in a lucid dream. So, hey, you might be that, you know, that representation in my dream today, that I'm here to teach you how to operate in the mystical. And I'm here to tell you, it's time to double down and recognize that it's all an illusion. Separation is illusion. Lack is an illusion. I'm not denying that it doesn't exist. I mean, I'm not denying that it exists in the natural realm. Okay. I'm not saying you aren't sick when you have a doctor's diagnosis or you have symptoms. Okay. What I'm saying is that you have the power of God inside of you to transform anything. And when you say, by his stripes, I am healed. Well, guess what? You are speaking to your body. You're calling health into the natural realm. You're calling whatever is in the spirit into the natural realm. And words are how things get transferred, guys. Words and spirit-filled visions. So I bless you. I declare the victory over you. And I can't wait to hear the testimonies. This is one to listen to over and over again. If you are in a battle, do not back down. Do not back down. Double down. Stay and be careful what you're hearing. Keep things that build you up in the truth and keep you awake. Keep those things in your ear so that you can remember you are just an avatar. It is time to rise up, learn to dominate and manipulate the matrix and birth the things that God is birthing through you. All right. I love you much. Happy June. And it's going to be an awesome month because God's, we're going to do it. All right. Amen. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalise.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalise's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalise.com and watch Shalise's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.